Now we're going back into the regular session. No action decided during the administrative report. 9:05, and this regular council meeting is now back in session. And as I said, no action was taken during the executive session. So we'll go on with the regular agenda items. Item number one, council to discuss, consider, and possibly take action on the payment for repairs to the Friendly Oaks well. This is just Friendly Oaks. $77,764. That's what it costs us. Gene, would you like to?
Yes, and I could probably do my report one and three together if y'all would like.
Yes, sound fine.
So Friendly Oaks well, Scott and Jurgensen, they quartered us with 125 horsepower pump and motor. Talking to the electrician, we would have to upgrade the electrical panel. So we're going back with 100 horse pump and motor, which was delivered today. So that bid will be cheaper. And then we're getting new wire, because the wire was original wire, electrical wire. We're recycled it. $2,300, we recouped off of that. That can go, that is gonna go back with this, to come off of this budget, for this bill. And we'll be pumping over 300 gallons a minute at the Friendly Oaks well. And they're looking at, they brought the pump and motor today, weather permitting, by the end of the week, it'll be back online and we can start flushing it.
And Mark, was it pumping, report was done?
It varies, 'cause that meter messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And that, we're getting a new meter hit for that also. But when the parts come apart in it, it was pumping about 260 to 280 gallons a minute there at the end.
Okay.
The pump did have a hole in it, and the check valves were completely apart. I've got pictures on my phone, if y'all like to see them. So, and now if we wanna go to item three, or y'all wanna see the four?
Item three is council.
I'm sorry, I'm looking for it.
Okay. Okay. On number four.
I have a question.
You got a question on number one, I think.
Number one, on this, right here, it shows 125 horse.
Right.
Now you're saying we're gonna, either 125, or it's gonna be 100?
Right, 100 horse, because it's not on.
I had to rewire.
Re-upgrade our electrical.
What was it?
100.
100 was in it?
Okay.
Okay.
Alright. So that bid will be cheaper.
Okay.
And it longer.
Okay, any more questions on that? Okay, there's no action then to be taken except those to approve in the name of the board.
How was your labor just?
Check.
Well, I can agree with that.
Yeah, she got the money.
I have to go and lose money from that truck that we didn't use, and that piece of machinery that we didn't use.
How is that gonna pay for this?
Cause I
Only $37,000.
We have that, plus we have other unused money, because we didn't pay as much, 'cause we didn't, I have other money that I'm gonna use.
Well, the reason I was asking, 'cause they're gonna say it's not, instead of taking it all out of one fund, or pulling it down, why don't we take it out of the emergency fund, or else it is a emergency.
Right, some of it is gonna come out of the reserve, about, I wanna use all the money out of the budget that did not get used, which would be going into the emergency. Okay, let me back up. When we get out of it, all the money that was not used in the water department will go into our fund balance, which is our emergency money. That's what's gonna pay for the rest of it. So basically, instead of like $50,000 gonna get put in that emergency fund, nothing's gonna get put in there, because this well happened. Does that make any sense?
I'm looking, how much money was in that fund?
It's gonna be just go ahead and pay out now, instead of taking it and putting it in the emergency fund, and then write another check to pay the emergency.
Well, all I was saying is, you know, like, if it's a water fund, instead of, you know, pulling it down, you know, then that's what the emergency fund's for, and that's what's emergency.
But we're gonna be giving your budget, one of the things you'll notice is that we're not gonna have as much of a discrepancy between our expenses and our revenues. You'll see they almost flush, and the auditor looks at all that, but you won't have as much money going into the fund balance, the emergency fund, and you wouldn't have had it if the well would have broken.
But how much money did we not use that we're gonna get?
I don't have that number on top of my head. So it's about, it's probably gonna be probably at least $40,000 total. It's gonna be like from emergency night. Cause there was, I wanna say $38,000, some change left.
But as soon as we get on the sewer project, as soon as we are able to take the bids on that, then we will be reimbursed.
Right.
And,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I understand that, but I just thought we would do, we made this one account down, we got emergency money, which is what emergency is when it's over, well, both of them.
It's close to $100,000 for both.
Yeah.
We've had to spend close to $100,000.
$110,000.
Yeah, $110,000.
If I would rather, I can, on the next meeting, I can do a budget transfer to where y'all, I'll say, can I move X amount of dollars, and I'll have an exact number, from 50,000 to 3,000, which is your emergency fund balance, and make that adjustment to show if that, if you're ready to have that.
Well, if, why can't we do this? Why can't we just make a motion to pay this and the entire amount, which we're not sure what the LPG says.
It's gonna be less than
we left out of reserve funds, and any money that we can carry over, we can put in reserve, right?
Right, it all, it's all, that's automatic.
So what, okay, well, why don't we do this? I'll make a motion that we pay the entire amount, but it mainly owes well from our reserve fund. I'll say no.
Okay, motion made and seconded to pay the entire amount from our emergency fund?
From our reserve fund. The entire amount for this Friendly Oaks well from our reserve fund.
Okay.
Reserve fund, emergency fund, whatever.
Everybody in favor? Okay. This explains, might help explain to people why they say their water bill is so high. You never know when you're gonna have to come up with $100,000, which we did, and we had the money for.
Yeah, that was big for cash.
Yeah. It is things like this that makes your bill unexpected. Yeah, and you need to expect it.
Yeah. Do you want me to go ahead and touch on number four?
Yeah, go ahead on number four.
You want to read it out?
Council to discuss, consider, and possibly take action on any priority upgrades needed to our water system and a progress report on the Talbot and the Friendly Oaks well from Gene. But y'all remember, well, I don't know if y'all remember, a couple of years ago, we had three water projects that were in the works in part, but we decided to let the water upgrades wait until after the sewer system is done. Except for emergencies, like we just spent $100,000, we had to do that. But anything else that can wait is gonna have to wait until, because we'll be getting back close to around $1 million out of our $10 million loan and grant. And in the city, we'll have that money back, or they can upgrade the water system. And one of those projects was out in Falls County, I think along the old Veterans Road.
Yes, sir.
Hickory Mine, because they're just about, they got back on all the meters that they got on here.
They can get out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. County Road 451 needs to be upgraded, and we, I'm sure everyone's aware, Old Bethany still needs some more upgrading to grow.
Out here, though, the boys, we was having all that trouble too.
No, we've already got him correct.
Would you say County Road 451, would you say that would be the first, and then Old Bethany second, or what would you say?
They're running the close race between the two, and I would have to deal with Johnny Saturday.
and we would have to wrap our brains on it, but.
And there was.
The county can't get any more meters at all, right?
And these again, horseshoe bend.
Horseshoe bend, it still needs to be integrated as well with, when that was a project we were gonna work on when we did open the road, but the farms weren't there.
Well, that's what I was saying, that's Hungry Hill.
Hungry Hill, no, it's got a lot on it, but I can't go past into Falls County.
That's the ball.
Ball, I can't go past the ball field because the line is.
But what is that, or Gene, I know, Johnny, what is that old black pipe they used a hundred years ago when EB was here?
That was all very conduit pipe.
And that grade, and it had a black, I mean, there's still some of that out there.
Yeah.
In areas, but that's why I tell you about it, but you're always gonna have upgrades, right? I mean.
Yeah.
It's just winter late.
Yeah, and then it really all gets replaced.
If we upgrade Falls County tomorrow, somebody could come in there and put in something, and then have to be upgraded again.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always gonna be a.
No, they probably need to put up.
That is the main one, as I said, 451 and OBAS in the area.
OBAS.
Yeah.
Right.
Line that goes down past the cemetery.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I remember three projects.
I don't remember what that one was.
Do you remember?
Some of them we've already done. When the city got the grant from the Texas Department of TVA.
Yes.
We did the project that came from the water plant.
Went down.
Old Million.
Back grants.
Back.
And then.
Yeah.
Old Million.
Yeah, back around.
Yeah, we did that. And the other one was the Old Bethany Road, and we did that.
Right.
So the only one that was left is that Falls County road.
Okay.
Cause we put them GRVs in there too.
Yeah. I remember on Old Moody, the line was, what, 3 inch grind, and all of a sudden it went down to, what, 3/4?
No, it went all the way from, what, 3 inch to 2, some places to 2.5.
For about 100 yards or something.
And then it kept on.
We didn't even know that was there. Okay.
And then, so, if there's anything more interest in upgrades, I can go information on Parkwell. It's up and running. We are pumping. We had to take samples out of the X, of course, and we're pumping 480 gallons a minute. We went down for 200 per 100, and Bernie Oaks well, they brought, like I said, they brought pumping motor today, and they will be out hopefully by the end of the week, weather permitting, to put that back in the ground.
We're hoping by the end of the week to have the friendly. You think we'll have the friendly?
No, I don't think we'll have it online, and then we have to pump it, and just like I told you, we pump it 24 hours straight, go ahead and pull a sample.
Probably, well, it'll be next week.
Yeah, it's probably the middle of next week, if everything goes good. With those two, our water pressure should get a lot better.
And that'll be 3 yards, yeah, that's a minute, I'll bet.
Give or take, it probably will be a little more than 300, but I'll, okay, 400 on top of it.
But keep in mind, the financial, you're gonna see a huge jump in how much purchased water we get.
Yes, we will have our huge.
We have those.
Right, sure.
You're gonna see the purchased water way high.
Right.
That's why we're gonna get.
We wanted to repair.
Yes.
Pam, you got something?
Yeah, I'm gonna let them know that we have probably over 15 applications from people wanting meters out in the Old Bethany area.
Old Bethany?
Yeah, up that way, by Prince Road.
Yeah.
And on up that way. I've already got people, and of course, we.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
We gotta get that line.
Yeah.
And he got ready to some more when we get the phone.
I had several other people on the list that made a remark that they would make payment, an extra payment to get it done. It's just that I did not know how much the total was, the whole project, for all the meters. So, that's something I kind of want to know. what, how much it would be to upgrade, for me to maybe go to all these people and see if they're able to do that. Because I do know, four or five people that would be ready for money to do.
To get upgraded.
So you got, how many meters you have over there roughly?
I'm saying, I know we've got several that came in, and it's close to 15 already.
15, so we'll get John that number, he can get us, how much more line we need to extend out there on that 10 inch.
Yeah.
Or if there's somewhere else we need to put it in that area.
If the city wants to look at upgrading that line with, for all the meters that you got application for, then I need to look at, I need to see what all those are, and I need to run our rock of study to see if all of those are added at the same time, how much would it cost? Because when we get a request for 1 meter, then we do an analysis for 1 meter. Well, for 1 meter to extend the pipe, they got a tile to the pipe, extend it, tile again. Well, the tiles are more than the cost of laying the pipe. So the better deal would be to look at all of them and see what it's going to take to get all of them.
Can I suggest something?
Sure.
When you're doing that, wouldn't it be more feasible if we went ahead of, I mean, if it's in that area, y'all know more about than I do. But if it's out in that area, would it be more feasible to go ahead and make it instead of 15 meters where you can have, say, 30 meters while you're doing it?
Accommodate for an extra.
I mean, that means you got to give them the meters. I mean,
right.
you have it.
Yeah. The question that the city needs to decide is, do you want, and I'm talking about the area that's not in the city limits, okay, any area that's outside the city limits, do you want that individual to have to pay for their improvements if they want a new meter, a meter and the land doesn't have capacity, or do you want the city to pay?
Could we meet halfway?
Well, you can meet anywhere
you
want to.
Right.
In order to, because down the road, you know, it's going to benefit us.
I get with you tomorrow, and you can tell me how much it's going to cost for you to do that evaluation.
Just send me a meter request, just like you would.
Okay.
Just fill out a form, and same one.
Okay.
Send me how many meters and tell me where they all are.
Okay.
And then I will run one for 15, and then we could always extend it a little bit.
Oh, nice.
What about it?
One more question. Are we going to take $1,500 for that meter set? So the 15 meters and $100 each?
No. On the form, the first one's $100. If it's just one, it's $100.
Okay.
If it's two, it's less. If it's three, it's less.
Okay. Then
it goes up to five, and after that, it's fixed price at 3.1. You don't have to do that. All one request.
Okay. Go to that tomorrow.
You did 10 or more.
As long as the 10 or more is like from
100
to
10. Yeah.
I just got one thing for that.
Okay, now,
I was just going to say that one of the problems with saying, okay, we're going to try and get water for these 15 meters, okay, the price is going to be this much, who's in? Well, if you're on that line, then you say, well, shoot, I'd rather everybody else pay it, and I get mine free.
Right.
So you end up with, when you think you have 15, you only get 8 that's really signed up to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And the 8, I mean, they sign up 8, but you still got to do the same distance. The cost is still the same.
Yep.
So you may have to figure out how to deal with that so it doesn't hurt the city.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. So you actually receive all the funds that you need for whatever the project is in the building.
I understand.
Yeah. How do they do that in other places? Would you have some kind of monthly fee for water line extension fee or something that you might could add on the customers?
Well, I don't know.
That way it might, that way everybody, instead of just a few like you're talking about, everybody for it.
I'll tell you, I know two ways that happens, well, maybe three ways. But the problem with Bruce Valetti about that is two-thirds of your meters are outside the city limits. Okay?
Okay.
Well, you have no jurisdiction out there of consequence. I mean, except for your water system.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have somebody that wants to cut up 500 acres out there and cut it into two-acre lots, and they want meters for it, is the city going to pay for that?
Nope.
I don't think so.
No.
And you haven't done that with the, I mean, we've had two, three subdivisions in the end. They paid up.
Okay.
That's okay. Yeah. And the city provides the water. Now, if it's inside the city limits, there's some difference to it. But you have control of that with your subdivision ordinance. So somebody can't have a tract of land in the city and say, I'm going to cut it into 20 lots.
Right.
They got to submit a plat. And then they also, we also have to figure out how we're going to get water and sewer and stuff.
Yeah.
So you got control in the city limits. The only control you have outside the city limits is how you administer your water program.
So I guess there are, I think, yeah, on the social conference with you, So if one of our applicants puts in for the meter and you come back and say you want to need $18,000 to upgrade, but then 2 months later another application comes and then that one says $24,000. So we were like, well, why is one 18 and this one's 24?
How's your material in that?
So, and then, but then the third one comes in. So, is the $24,000, is that just to get the line to that address? Or how does that work?
Well, when we look at it, we look at, is the line big enough where the meter is going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, then it has to be upgraded.
Okay.
But when you add that meter, then there might be a place that's not even close to that, that you have people that have low pressure, specifically Robin Road.
Okay.
So you're way up on the hill, so you get a meter down here, somebody wants a meter, well, it affects the pressure on Robin Road, so there has to be an off, what's called an offside improvement that's done that's not close to where they are.
Gotcha.
Okay. So it includes all of it.
But there are more lines there 90% of the time. It's just, you know, if they're maxed out, they've got a great, like Paul County, they can't use anything until they have a great line.
I just didn't understand how that works. I wanted to know the line and how it's possible.
You got anything else, Gene?
No, I got anything else to do.
Well, thank you, Eddie.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go to item number two. Council to discuss, consider, and possibly take action on sewer update. Currently, we are waiting on Bank of America for the final list stage.
I am so excited to say that I met with Mr. Smith. And he was very reluctant. I'm so glad I went there. The first I was going to just have to check off for this tree situation. There was borderline that had grown on top of our tree had grown on top of the borderline. Borderline busted. They cut the tree down. Mr. Smith agreed to $1,500 to replace the tree. I kind of thought this was a cancel member. I texted him to let him know. Pay for the tree. So I was going to stop stick off and I decided to take it further. And I'm so glad I did. But he was still a little kind of reserved about the big trees out there. And so talking to him, he signed, he got the lift station. I did tell him that I'll do everything in my power to make sure that we reserved them as a good trees as we could. And I told him the state was on board with that. And that we were going to take care of them. Please don't make me regret about this. I said, we won't. I'll do my very best. So we just want to make sure when we dig the hole for the lift station or whatever, to make sure we cover it up the same day to remove the roof.
Well, one of the things about
trees, and we specifically looked at that location, is even at pet stop level, they have arborists or whatever you call them come out and try to look at trees. The drip line of the tree, you know, the tree comes out like this, and the last limbs that sit out here, that, for the professionals that do this, I don't know this, but what I'm told by those people and what the standards are, is the root system runs out that far.
That's right.
So, when you don't have any limbs or leaves over the top of it, you can drip a little. And I mean, there might be some little big ones that are up there, but you're not dealing with any major root system.
No, I'm sorry.
And that's what I plan to do there.
Yeah, and like you said, when there's no leaves and stuff, because it's that sound.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I just ask, because I need to work my tech shot. And
I just want to make sure we take care of all of our citizens, but I want to make sure we take care of, especially the citizens that have some concerns, you know, that have some issues before we see. So, and which is why I decided to do a person to continue to check that.
And the way it's supposed to be, when we come in here and do something, we either fix it as good or better than it was.
Exactly.
And what about the Cunningham?
The Cunningham is at Bank of America, did an overnight check to them. I do not have the authority to talk to Bank of America. All they can do is verify they did receive the payment, and they were taking care of it. They cannot give me no updates since I'm not the lender, I'm not the borrower, I'm not the owner.
Doesn't they have to do an appraisal?
So, yes, they have to do appraisal.
On what? What are they doing appraisal on?
The
land that we're buying?
Correct. Just on that little teeny piece of property.
See, that's what I'm going to put out there.
We're going to sign a lender right here.
Okay.
When you have a lender that is in for the entire house, everything's on the property, and there's a loan against it,
yes,
then if there's a piece of property that is going to be removed from that, then they have to reappraise the property and determine what is the value of the property without that. What is the value of the property without that and it being a lift station? And what is the value of that property without the property and having a lift station and having sewer? Okay?
Okay.
So that ends up, so that, and the whole purpose of this is to be sure that the bank is satisfied that the property is still worth the amount that they have in
the loan.
Right. Okay.
See, I put through that thing that I'm going through out there.
So.
My man, they said, well, you're going to have to have it replanted, resurveyed. I said, how many of you have done this? I said, I'm going to put this up. I want to see if there's any other
reason. Right. So, they could come back once they appraise that. Well, I don't remember what we give them for, but whatever we give them for, they could come back and say, well, it's worth more than that, and then we might have to come up with some more money.
Right. So that could happen. And then it would be council's decision if they wanted to pay us more money.
For sure.
Or whatever. But right now we're on our prayer. So today I've been reaching out to Mr. Thomas like every day. And today I reached out to him and asked him, was there any updates? And he told me today it is in process. They are processing it. So they are moving forward. But that's all
information. But he didn't give you no time frame?
He couldn't. I asked him and he told me no. Now,
okay.
The first, when I did talk to the lady, the one time I did talk to her where she was able to tell me anything was they got the check, and she said it took the same about 75 days.
About 75 days.
Average.
That's the last administration we need.
Yeah, and that is the last administration that we need.
No, you're right. Like I said, that's probably and they told me, well, once I get the plat and the survey, it could take you up to 6 to 8 weeks. I said, for what? All I need is about 30 minutes of your time. Go out there and look at it.
So we're looking at cutting it first year.
That was not bad.
Yeah. The good news is, we're not looking at time.
Right.
We're looking for just one.
That's right.
Okay. Right.
We're
almost
there.
Yeah, okay.
So
we're making progress.
Yeah.
Right.
Bless you. Thanks for what you told on that.
Don't have to thank you for doing my job. but I appreciate it.
You and Pam, y'all have worked y'all's tail off.
All right, you did not appreciate it about time. Okay, I'm here for you. You said no, you said. Hey, what she said? You don't have to.
Yes, that's wrong with number three.
Yes.
Council to discuss, consider, and possibly take action on Carol Lance's continued dog attacks in the city's current animal control ordinances, and if there are any state statutes that would apply to this matter. Ricky Wiggins, a thank you line.
Yes, sir. I don't want to push Mike. Well, I don't know if they can hear me. Maybe they can hear me. And on this. Okay, let me cut it off. But what it is, you know, last meeting is when Miss Lance talked about her dog being mauled and killed, and then since then she called me and told me that since she spoke at last meeting, she had a personal encounter with that dog at the same location. And so I wanted to know what we could do, and that's when I sent an email to Mr. Purple. Is Neil still on? Are you still
on? Hello. I didn't turn the mute off. I'm off.
Okay. That's when I sent an email to Mr. Purple on the 19th, and I sent some attachments. I'll just read you the email. See the attachment for some of our city ordinances and state statutes concerning animals, dogs mainly. This issue was discussed by citizens at our last council meeting and will be discussed again at our October 27th meeting. This citizen's concern is that when she walks at a certain location, house, three pit bull dogs are at large and not under control, which one of the dogs mauled and killed her dog, and she had another encounter with the dogs since our last meeting where she spoke. She has spoken with me about this issue and has some concern about her city ordinances not covering if a person is injured by a dog. So I did some research, and it looks to me like while we may not have an ordinance that specifically pertains to a person being attacked, bitten, or injured, etc. by a dog, the state does, and therefore if it were to happen, and it would fall under the state statute. However, I'm not certain, so I'm trying to give you time to research this matter in order for you to be prepared to address her concerns. I looked at Moody's ordinances, and they have some specific ordinances that address this issue. Maybe we will need to update our ordinances, if so, please advise. And I'd appreciate if you get back with all council mayor and city administrator about this issue prior to our October 27th meeting, and I hadn't heard anything from you.
Mr. Wiggins, do you want me to kind of chime in and tell everyone from what I've learned so far, or what I know?
From what you know so far, yes, sir. That'd be great.
Okay, can y'all hear me okay?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. So, the first and main statute, and there's a lot of statutes out there, deals with a seizure of a dog that causes death or serious injury to a person. And the issue with that statute, that's a state statute, and it requires that there be an animal control authority. And the animal control authority can be a municipal, like a city one. It can be a county one. If the county doesn't have one and the city doesn't have one, the sheriff has to have. So under that situation, and as I understand it, we don't have an animal control authority. And as a city, and as I understand, Clinton County doesn't have one either. So we would have to tell it to the sheriff to actually do this, and this is only when death or seriously bodily injury occurs to a person. Okay? And if that happens, it says any person, and it says including a county attorney, a city attorney, or police officer, can fill out a sworn complaint or affidavit and turn it into the justice court, the county court, or the municipal court. And if that court, upon showing a probable cause, determines that that dog committed, killed the person or committed seriously bodily injury, the court can order the dog to be impounded. Are y'all following me so far?
Yes.
Okay. And then, where we are now, the only entity in our situation that can impound the dog, as I understand it, is sheriff's office. Once the sheriff's office impounds the dog, there has to be within 10 days, a hearing. And if the court determines that the dog caused death of a person, the dog shall be destroyed. If the dog caused seriously bodily injury, the court may order the dog destroyed. So that's the issue with the dog and people. Now, if the above happens, and when I said the above, a dog either hurts a person real bad, and that comes to this bodily injury. I tried to get a definition of that. I can't give you one right now. But if a person does that, or if a person owns the dog and they commit criminal negligence and fails to secure the dog, and the dog makes an unprovoked attack on the person off the property that's owned by the person. So, basically, think of a dog getting off the property, killing someone, or causing seriously bodily injury, and they can be charged, and it can be a third-degree felony. Now, there are some defenses to that. So, right there, we have two things. One, the consequences of the dog is a hurt the person. Then the consequences to the owner if the dog is seriously hurt. I mean, he either causes seriously bodily injury or kills a person. Now, there's another statute. This other statute pertains to dogs and coyotes. And it refers to dangerous dogs and the coyotes. Oddly enough, some people keep coyotes as pets. But if the owner or person in control of a dog or coyote, and this is important, knows that the, and I'm not going to talk about coyotes anymore, knows that the dog is accustomed to run, worry, or kill livestock, domestic animals, or fowl, it's an offense punishable by not more than $100 fine, and each offense can be a separate violation. So I think there, it appears to me that our police officers who are not not animal control authorities. And I think there's a pretty expensive process to get somebody in could issue a ticket, but we're going to have to prove the prosecutor that the owner or keeper of the dog knows that the dog is accustomed to run, worry, or kill livestock, other dogs, or basically chickens. So, the first event when a citizen's dog probably would not be covered, but a second one would be. You see what I'm saying there?
Okay.
It's kind of the, you get 1 week pass rule. Now there is a statute, but this doesn't really apply to our situation with the city, but there's a statute underneath that state section that allows people to defend their livestock, dogs, or fowls when they're being attacked by a dog or coyote. And it's a pretty severe statute, and I would not encourage citizens to defend it, but there is some law that would allow them to kill a dog if it was attacking their dog, their cows, or their chickens. Yeah. So that's three different options that are in the books right now. That's the problem with the third option is it would be difficult to say in the court that the person knows that the dog is accustomed to chase, worry, or kill livestock, but our dogs or chickens. But once you're having a fit, it would be much easier to prove if that makes sense.
Okay. Well, and you know, in this particular case, from my understanding, when the dog came out, this last instance, when the dog came out and the owner, one of the dog's owners, was on the porch, and Miss Lance ended up spraying the dog, I believe, with mace to protect herself.
I think that is perfectly fine for her to do that.
Yes, but she shouldn't have to do that. I mean,
no, I completely understand. And we're going to get to, I've got one more statute that's on the books, and then I'm going to give you a couple of an option of what we could do to make it easier on the police officers. The last statute that's on the books is relating to what I would call a dangerous dog.
Yes, sir.
And a dangerous dog is a dog that makes an unprovoked attack on a person that causes bodily injury that occurs in a place other than the enclosure in which the dog is being kept. So that only applies right now to an attack on a person.
If you have a
dangerous dog, so let's say, and I'm going to say, I'm going to use you, Mr. Wiggins, because I know you asked me questions about this.
Yes.
If a dog, if you're out on the public street and a dog comes up and attacks you, okay?
Yes, sir.
And we say it was an unprovoked attack and it caused bodily injury and you are not where the dog is being kept. And there's some minor exceptions to this, but it really doesn't be applicable generally. But then once you have that situation, a person who owns a dangerous dog has 30 days to register the dog with the Animal Control Authority in that area. So in our situation, they would have to register the dog with the sheriff because McClellan County doesn't have an Animal Control Authority and we don't have an Animal Control Authority.
Does our officer have to notify them of this, and then they have the 30-day period come into play?
Now, that is not clear in the statute. I think if the officer notified them of that, it would be more evidence that it would start the process, this process.
Right.
So if this process happens, the owner has to register the dog with the Animal Control Authority. Two, you have to keep the dog dog who's trained on a leash at all times in a secure enclosure, you have to obtain liability insurance of at least $100,000, and they have to comply with the applicable municipal or county regulations. So you could, even as a city, add more regulations.
Right.
Now, if the owner doesn't do that, a justice court, a county court, a municipal court, they order the dog to be seized by the animal control authority. Once the dog is seized, there is an 11-day process for there to be a hearing. For the person to try to contest that the dog is dangerous, or 11 days for the person to comply with 1, 2, 3, 4 that I told you about.
Yes.
Now, if it is more dangerous, they can appeal. The problem with this is the failure to do all this is only a Class C misdemeanor. Now, so we have two statutes that apply to dogs attacking people in the state and one that applies to animals. So, but most of these require a prior act, okay? So what can the city do to be able to take action immediately, okay? We could, one, pass a leash law, but the leash law can't carve out or be pointed at any individual group of dogs. So like here you can't say, pit bulls have to be on leashes, or chihuahuas have to be on leashes. But you can say all dogs must be behind a fence or on a leash. Now, you sent me, Mr. Williams, the city of Moody's leash law.
No, that was ours where that I sent you. I didn't send you Moody's. I sent you ours.
Oh, this is ours.
Yeah, where it says, what you were talking about, where it talks about at large. Under the definitions?
Yes.
Okay, you see at large. And
that's ours. Okay, yeah. I thought it was Moody's.
No. I just told you that Moody's was, gosh, it was two or three pages long, but they had some teeth into theirs, really, and it was like a $10,000 fine. It was more
simple. Okay, you can't
email tonight.
The city's not going to impose a fine that large.
Okay.
The only thing that we can do as a city right now is we can contact the sheriff and get him to act as an animal control authority. That's under statute one. We could act under statutes 2, 3, and 4 if the situation fits the box. Now, the city can do two things. One, pass a leash law. There's one thing, now that I made the design leash law, I do not like that it says not under complete control, either by leash, cord, chain, or effective verbal command. Because everyone's going to say, oh, I have my dog under control. If I tell him to come, he'll come.
Well, whatever, when he bites somebody. If you tell that dog to come and he doesn't come back and he goes on and chases after somebody and bites him, then to me, he's not under effective verbal command.
I completely agree with that. So what can the officer do when that happens? They can write a ticket. So we've got to be able to have the dog declared at large before we have the incident. So it's real clear. If I walk outside and a dog is in the middle of the street with no leash on, that dog is at large.
Wow.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Because if I can make the argument, well, if I say that dog come here, then that's they can make the argument that's effective of verbal command. Yeah,
sir.
Yes.
I'm just asking. My name's Rick Eaton. I'm on the council. But they have already wrote these person a ticket for the dog, for killing that other little dog. And they have a backyard with a fenced-in yard. What we're saying, how come they can't make them stay in the backyard when they got to be in the front where these people are walking? That's what we're trying to say is, how can we address it? They've already been issued a citation, but that's evidently is not good enough. They're still letting that dog out in the front yard where there is no fence, and obviously it's not under their verbal command, and it goes out and tries to bite an individual that's walking down the street, and we're just trying to protect somebody from getting bit or even getting killed by this dog. It could be a kid out there riding a bike and something happened to it. It don't matter who it is. Trying to prevent it.
Well, one thing I completely understand the question. I'm looking at the statutes now. I understand where we are.
Okay.
Carol Lance?
I'm sorry, Miss Carol. Miss Lance, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hi. Can I speak for a second?
Yes, go ahead.
Go ahead, Carol.
I'd like to address the mayor and the council members and the attorney. I have a few concerns, and I'm glad that this was brought back up on the agenda, because I personally feel that the system itself has failed me as a citizen of over 24 years in this town. I think that our ordinances are very lax, and that I think we truly need to take some corrective action. I've already been told that there was a citizen that has been bit by a dog that I've already reported as being at large. I don't know that particular dog owner was provided a citation. I've been told by Chief Dorsey that any time that I have made calls regarding animals at large, our police officers have been giving folks warnings. I don't know that I think that that's such a great idea if we continue to provide warnings to people that have animals that are not on a leash. We've had an adult that's been bitten. I'm just very fearful, and I'm a grandparent. I'm fearful for someone's child walking to or from school or being on a bicycle that could be in danger. And I'm asking for some stricter guidelines, some stricter rules, and for this situation that I personally have had to deal with myself, not to be taken lightly. I had spoken to the owner of the pit bull that mauled my little Yorkie and was told by him personally that his dog chased the squirrels. Well, that's all fine and dandy that he chased the squirrels, but considering the fact that my monkey is no longer on the couch with me, or going for walks with me, or alive on this earth any longer, we need to believe that particular pit bull should be possibly tagged as being a dangerous dog. Because if it chases squirrels, and it literally mauled my little Yorkie that wasn't running, walking, it was standing still. It didn't stand a chance. It wasn't doing anything. It didn't even bark at it. Then obviously that leads me to believe that pit bull would not think twice about chasing a squirrel that wasn't moving and killing it like a rag doll, just like it did my Yorkie. I've been for some consideration for.
I'll just
make a quick comment. Giving it some serious thought that we change some things here.
Okay.
Yeah,
we
just did it as cheating.
Want to say something?
Go ahead.
If I can just speak for a second. I do recollect my conversation with Ms. Lance. I spoke to her over the phone and in person. And we did have a conversation, and I did explain to her that, you know, my officers and I do write citations for dog at large. But there are certain circumstances that may call for a warning, but we don't issue warnings on every instance. And I believe Mr. Eaton brought this up last council meeting, where, you know, if it's just a situation where the dog's not vicious, hasn't attacked anybody or another animal, and they're just simply, you know, out of their yard or whatever the case, you know, there's a number of different instances that could happen. And we could, you know, give someone a verbal warning. We're not going to write every single person a citation for every dog at or every animal at large, you know, especially if it's a first offense. But, you know, every call that we get is documented, and, you know, every call that we get, we respond to. And, you know, if it is a vicious dog, or there, in this instance, you know, a dog was attacked and killed, you know, we did issue that citation. That's really all we could do at that time. And that case is still pending in our municipal court.
So you have to talk too much about
it. So, you know, they'll be up to the court to, you know, hopefully our court can assist with that and, you know, hold the, you know, owner responsible for what happened. That'll be up to the court, because once we write the citation, then it goes into the court's hands, and it's in the court system at that point.
I think she understands that, but I think her concern is, we did something for the incident with her dog. However, it happened again.
Yeah.
I mean, the dog come out there and tried to attack her.
Right.
The only way she could defend herself.
I don't believe that.
Mace.
Right.
So it's still happening. And what can we do to prevent that from keep happening?
Okay.
That's right.
Now, I don't know for sure, but I don't recall that specific incident being reported with us.
I chose not to report it. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I personally feel that the system has failed me completely and totally all the way around. So what good was it going to do for me to contact you and for them to get another warning?
Well, ma'am, it would be good.
I don't need warning.
It would be good to contact us. That way we have a paper trail, we have records, so that way whenever we go to present the sheriff or whatever higher authority we need to go to, then we can say, hey, you know, we have all these documented incidents, because when they don't go reported, then it's hard to present a case, you know, saying that there's reoccurring instances with an animal.
And they were given a citation, not a warning.
Correct. For when the dog was attacked, when Ms. Lance's dog was attacked and killed, they were issued a dog at large citation.
Right.
And that is still pending in our court system.
Yeah, let me tell you what can be done now by each kind of level of people is what I see. The city council, we can tie up, there are some, I'm going to call them holes in the state statutes. The city can make their statutes more intense,
yes.
But some of the penalties cannot be raised too much. So we can, you can tie in to the ones, the statutes for the city council that say dog at large, or it says serious bodily injury or kills a person, you can make that apply to domestic animals. To the statutes that apply to injuring domestic animals, you can make that one apply to people. And it will give a little bit more, it'll close some of the hard holes. The second thing that the police can do at this time is every time that dog is out right now, that is a separate offense. If you come on Monday and the dog's out in the middle of the street Monday morning,
you can add a ticket.
Not one.
On Tuesday morning, you can add a third ticket.
Yes.
For dog bar. Tuesday afternoon, a third ticket. Now, I know that doesn't seem like a whole lot, but after about a while, it begins to add up. Each offense for a dog at large can be an offense. Now, what I would say is, do you know, Chief, who at the Sheriff's Department is the Animal Control Authority?
Well, my understanding, Mr. Purple, and I do have some personal experience, I worked for McLean County Sheriff's Office for about 4 years. And
okay.
My recollection is they don't have their own animal control. Every animal control that a sheriff's deputy responds to, they have Waco Animal Control respond and, you know, do whatever they need to do. McLean County does not have their own animal control. I guess they're contracted with the city of Waco.
Okay.
What about this, Neil and Ms. Lance, if you're listening? What about if we have our city administrator research this issue and get with our city attorney if needed and come up with an ordinance relating to a dog causing bodily injury to a person and get back with the council on it? What about if we did that?
To a person or to another animal?
To a person.
Now,
amend the ordinance.
One of the problems is probably the best way to probably can do that is she can go to TML and she can look at other ordinances for similar ordinances, and then we can kind of refine them to the city.
Right.
The main ordinance about that to cause the dog to be seized. You have to right now have serious bodily injury to a person or death.
Okay.
And the problem there is, for the event we've had in the past, the statute hasn't been made already to apply to dogs. Does that make sense? We can fix it.
Right.
Going forward.
Okay.
But I think they can fix the law and not a statute that can help. And I apologize if you don't know your name. Something that's happened in the past. You can't write a retroactive law, Ms. Lance. But we can fix the future conduct where it's more eyes dotted and T's crossed.
Yes. Okay.
That's about the great place to start. I would appreciate that in your hand.
I'll tell you what I'll do right now. I'm going to make a motion for our city administrator to research this issue and get with our city attorney, if needed, to come up with an ordinance relating to dogs causing bodily injury to a person and get back with the council at our next meeting.
Well, Mr. Wiggins.
Okay. I lost you, Neil. I can't hear you.
You're breaking up.
But it's not getting
it out. Not good.
Well,
I hear you now.
I mean, if I need to, I'll call in on three.
Well, I hear you now.
Yeah.
Okay. We need to have injuries first and include people and injuries to animals.
To the animals, not people.
It's a way to say. People and to domestic animals is what the attorney is saying.
Yes.
Okay.
For animals, not people.
For domestic.
Both. And domestic animals.
Okay. So my motion for you for come up with an ordinance relating to people causing bodily injury to people and domestic animals. And get back with council. Would that be okay, Mr. Purple?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
At our next meeting.
November 15th,
I think. And put some teeth in it. I recommend going to motor yard and looking this far place to look.
Okay.
Okay, I made a motion. Yeah, I'll tell you.
Motion made and seconded to get Sonia to
look up different research, you know.
Yeah, all in favor? Agreed. Okay. Unanimous.
Can I get some clarification?
Okay.
I'm going to put them down with an ordinance.
Yes.
Okay.
Present us with the ordinance about.
I'm going to research and come up with the ordinance, and I'm going to put the order.
And if you need to consult with Mr. Purple, you can do that too.
I would advise you, Sonia, to talk to him before the court, come to you when you're tired.
We've got to hear what you said.
The pipe is not working. Oh, it's been working all night.
That's not good.
Okay.
Sonia.
Yeah.
And talk to me before you start this, because I can point you to what I'm going to call the flip-flops. One ordinance is for people, there's another one for animals, there's another one for people, and if you flip-flop them, it kind of closes a bunch of holes.
Okay, I'll call you in the morning.
Okay, that'll be good.
Perfect.
Do y'all want me to stay for the last time on the agenda?
No.
That's
I don't know. If you want to, it's up to you.
I will. Y'all want me to.
Okay.
Well, go ahead and let you hear. Go ahead and say.
Okay.
Ms. Lance, are you okay with this? Is that kind of...
Yes, sir. It's a great place to start.
Yes, ma'am. Well, we appreciate you bringing it back to our attention, and because we don't know about it.
Appreciate your assistance in this matter.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we'll go to item 5. Council to discuss communication issues between the city administrator, city council, mayor, and city engineer, Johnny Taylor.
Okay, now I had put that on there because, you know, prior to our October the 20th meeting, I had requested some items to be on the agenda, mm-hmm. and communication was one of them at that time, and I agreed to push my agenda items to this meeting.
Yes.
Okay, now, and for me, I haven't, prior to that meeting, I hadn't been receiving anything that when a council meeting gets canceled, I don't see nothing about it. The only way I find out is through Savvy Citizen, or if I go on our website and look. That's the only way I find out. And then I don't know why it was canceled. So I feel like, should at least, if we're going to cancel a meeting, somebody should notify a council member and say this meeting's been canceled and this is why it's been canceled. Because I've had people ask me, well, why did y'all cancel the meeting? And I said, well, I don't know, because I didn't even know it was canceled.
Yeah, I think people need to notify, I understand that.
Well, and I've been in the same boat.
I'm proud of you.
No, I understand that. But I even told you, too, though, whenever you told me, I said, no, you said, well, and I said, I haven't received crap.
Yeah.
And if we need
you
to talk,
you know, in the future,
that, I will say in my defense, so that the time that y'all weren't receiving it, a lot of that, I still.
I'm still trying to get it. Yeah. And Pam, if you can't deliver, Pam, get somebody to notify somebody. And another example was they too was like at our last meeting, when we had the question came up about the, one of the property with...
About the $1,500 check?
No, with the West Bass property, those people buying it, I can't think of his name, and it was a part in there that, you remember, there was a little conflict between the city, a little section of property between the city and West's property, and that, according to what I was reading that night, well, that hadn't been straightened out. Well, then after I said that, it was like, oh, well, wait a minute, we got this deed in the day before the meeting.
Right.
Well, we didn't even know about it. I mean, I didn't know about it till then, and even our counsel, Mr. Purple, he didn't know, have that document either. So, it was, I mean, that's just part of communication. Right. If we were communicating better.
I certainly understand. And I give you that. I certainly do, and I apologize for it. But you can certainly understand that I was trying to get ready for council meeting. I had a bunch of other things going on. I'm trying to get this station. I'm trying to get this done.
Well, that's how come you can delegate that to somebody else.
But I totally dropped the ball on that. So I do apologize. I mean, there's no explanation. I apologize.
And
I will be better.
Right,
I think I have done better.
Right. No, we're not saying that, but we're just saying communication for everybody. I'm just saying.
Communication is good for anything.
Right.
I agree.
We need to do better.
But
I will say, this too. Next Tuesday meeting, I see no reason for having that meeting.
For election.
That's fine. Is there any communication that, you know, that you've had, Johnny?
I guess you would have to play part of me going.
No,
where's our meeting?
Hold on, Johnny, you got something.
All right.
The one that I have a problem with is when I don't get any kind of notice of consequence that I'm going to be, that I need to be here, number one, and I need to be prepared to talk about something.
Yeah.
And most of that stuff, I just don't have on the tip of my tongue, and if it's talking about water system improvements or something about the wells or something about whatever, I really need to know a week or so before.
Yeah.
So I have time to gather the
information. It'll be all party.
Sometimes I don't get
presentations
until, like...
Can y'all
hear
me?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Hey, one thing. This is Neil. For some reason, my speaker's not working good. And two things, speaking of communication. One, we need to be careful not to violate the Open Meetings Act. So we've got to be careful with that. And two, anytime y'all want me at a city council meeting, personally, I wish I would have been there tonight. I tried to keep those calls down, but tonight would have been a good one for me to be at. So, for just communication purposes,
We lost you again.
Okay.
Well, next time I'm going to come to the meeting.
Okay.
Can I address council for a second?
Okay.
I would like to, a couple things, speaking of communication. I have told every council from the other council members, November, whatever day I'm not here, if I'm doing something wrong, you tell me, I'll regret it. I don't feel that I need to be called out in a council meeting about my communication or their lack of. I feel like this is something that we could talk one-on-one about. I feel that I am 100% voted as a citizen. I'm doing the best I can. I feel like I am good for this position, and I'm going to make mistakes. And I have made mistakes in my communication, but I feel like the council can come to me and say, hey, Simon, can you work on this? And I'm going to do it. I don't do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can all work together.
Right. Yeah. But first of all, to clear the air, we're not throwing it at you precisely. We're talking about, I'm just saying, we're talking about Pam.
But
you kind of, to me, you kind of feel like when the good Lord talks to you in church, he puts conviction on you,
that you first.
Well, that's because I can only speak for
me. I understand, but we're not saying that. We're talking about
everybody.
Amanda, the mayor,
yeah.
Mr. Wiggins.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Connie, you know,
obviously they're going forward to.
We work good together.
Right. And I will say a lot of things I don't communicate to you all until the council meeting.
Yeah.
So I can just call you all Monday and say, well, I got this, this is what I'm going to find.
You can do that.
I've been trying to text y'all like today, this is 93
that, and that's been working. That's been working great.
Yeah.
Like I said, since I put that on the agenda, boy, the communication has been
well,
tremendous.
We talked about it, too.
Right.
And speaking of communicating, I guess y'all all know that we got, Sonia got the grant.
$93,000
From CRF, the Coronavirus Relief Fund.
Yes, she did. She heard about it from
Wiggins
and me, but
And we can use that anyway we want to.
Oh, we can? I thought you were going to be the limitation on what we're
doing. Well, what it says is they're going to reimburse us for the payment that we've already paid out.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
This is Ms. Tyler.
Go ahead.
I really don't want to interrupt tonight, but I'd like to know how y'all knew about this coronavirus relief fund. I'd like to hear the answer.
Do you know about it?
I had actually gotten some documentation from Texas A&M, and I get emails from CML and different organizations that will update me that, hey, there's this thing that they qualify for. And then I read the material copy, okay, we might apply for that. And then I apply for it and I get a yes or no. This one, it was kind of funny because on that Friday, I had worked that whole week to get it done. And Mr. Williams emailed me on that Sunday and said, hey, did you apply for this? And I was like, as a matter of fact, I've been working on that. We got our notice today that we were approved for $93,000. But it was funny because I had done it on the 16th, and the 16th was the last day to apply.
And that was a blessing.
So,
I didn't know that just kind of emails from the state and the governor. And when I get something, it usually goes to the mayor. When I get something like that, it's important to forward it to Sonia. And I think they might forward it to you too about this COVID relief.
Yeah.
Forward it something.
Mayor?
No. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, finish?
Yeah.
I think Mr. Wiggins informed Ms. Bishop about that, I believe.
You do what?
Yeah, I didn't say that she didn't say it before.
Yeah, he didn't.
That's just what happened.
No, she said he answered. Well, maybe you didn't hear.
Yeah.
She
had it completed and everything ready.
She said that I did contact her about it.
Yeah.
After she had already filed.
Yeah, I'd already.
I didn't hear that part. So I'm glad we got it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Anything else?
It ain't funny.
What?
I think it's crazy, buddy.
Yeah, that's a good. We can use it. Okay, if there's nothing else, it's now 9:20. Motion made, seconded to adjourn at 9:24. This session is hereby adjourned.
Yeah.